The soil is still there, but it is no longer working for you. Leaves yellow out of season. Growth stalls. You water, you wait, and nothing changes. The store shelf is thin, or the price tag is insulting. What used to be simple now feels risky. You cannot afford to guess wrong. Fertility is not a bag. It is a system. And systems fail when you do not understand what is alive inside them. Compost tea can build life fast or spread disease just as quickly. Biochar can lock nutrients in place or strip them away for years if you get it wrong. Manure can feed soil or contaminate crops, water, and people if you cross one line too early. There is no margin for sloppy work here. Microbes do not care about good intentions. Heat, time, oxygen, and handling decide whether you build soil or poison it. This is not about gardening tips. This is about control. Control of inputs. Control of risk. Control of the thin line between fertility and failure when you are responsible for what grows and what gets eaten. Chapter 1. Liquid life under pressure. You see the failure before you understand it. Leaves lose color. New growth comes in thin and weak. The soil looks the same, but it no longer responds. Water drains through or sits wrong. Whatever balance once existed is gone. You feel pressure immediately. Fertility from a store depends on money, supply, and timing. When any of those fail, you are exposed. Compost tea promises speed. It promises living fertility in hours instead of seasons. That speed is what makes it powerful and what makes it dangerous. Compost tea is a liquid extraction of microbes from finished compost. It is not fertilizer in the conventional sense. It does not feed plants directly. It feeds the soil biology that feeds the plant. That distinction matters because you are not mixing chemicals, you are cultivating life. There are two categories, aerated compost tea and non-aerated compost tea. Aerated tea uses constant oxygen to favor beneficial aerobic organisms. Non-aerated tea relies on passive soaking and trends toward anaerobic conditions. For most food systems, aerated tea is the safer choice. Anaerobic conditions increase pathogen risk and unpredictable outcomes. The goal is simple. Multiply beneficial microbes without letting harmful ones take over. The execution is not simple at all. You start with compost quality. This is the foundation. If the compost is immature, contaminated, or biologically weak, the tea will amplify those flaws. Finished compost smells earthy, not sour or sharp. It is dark, crumbly, and cool. You should not see recognizable feedstock. If the compost heats up again after turning, it is not finished. You do not use manure compost in this chapter. That comes later. Here, compost must already be safe and stable. Water is the next pressure point. Most municipal water contains chlorine or chloramine. Both damage microbial life. Chlorine can be driven off by letting water sit exposed for 24 hours. Chloramine cannot. If chloramine is present, you must filter it or neutralize it. If you skip this step, you kill microbes before they ever multiply. Temperature controls everything. Ideal brew temperature sits between 65 and 75 degrees Fahrenheit. Below that range, microbial growth slows and favors the wrong populations. Above that range, oxygen demand spikes and risk follows. You do not chase perfection. You avoid extremes. Oxygen is the gatekeeper. Aerated compost tea requires constant agitation and air injection. A simple aquarium pump is enough if it runs continuously. Bubbling must be steady, not violent. The goal is dissolved oxygen, not foam. Without oxygen, the brew shifts fast. Anaerobic organisms produce alcohols, organic acids, and sulfur compounds. These damage roots and suppress plant immunity. If the tea smells rotten, sour, or sharp, it is already wrong. You do not apply it. You dump it away from crops. Inputs are minimal by design. Compost provides the microbes. You may add a small amount of microbial food such as unsulfured molasses, but restraint matters. Excess sugar causes bacterial blooms that crash oxygen levels. 1 tablespoon per 5 gallons is enough. More is not better. You never add raw plant material. You never add manure. You never add kitchen waste. Every addition changes the microbial balance and the risk profile. The brew time is short. 12 to 24 hours is the window. Beyond that, oxygen depletion and population crashes begin. You do not stretch the clock. You do not save tea for later. Compost tea is used immediately or not at all. During the brew, you watch and smell. Healthy tea smells like soil after rain. You may see a light foam. Thick foam suggests excessive sugars. No foam at all is acceptable. Smell tells the truth faster than appearance. Personal protection matters even here. Gloves protect against skin exposure. Eye protection prevents splashes. You wash hands and tools after handling. Compost tea is alive. That means it carries unknowns. Application timing matters. You apply in early morning or late afternoon. Sunlight damages microbial life. Heat dries leaf surfaces too fast. Wind causes drift and uneven coverage. There are two application methods, soil drench and foliar spray. Soil drench is safer and more forgiving. You apply directly to the soil surface near roots. This feeds soil life where it belongs. Foliar spray carries more risk. Leaves are entry points. If pathogens are present, foliar application spreads them efficiently. You do not foliar spray crops that will be harvested raw unless you are confident in compost quality and handling. Even then, caution remains. Rates are modest. You are inoculating, not flooding. 1 gallon of tea can treat several hundred square feet when applied correctly. Saturation is unnecessary and counterproductive. The response is subtle. Compost tea does not act like nitrogen fertilizer. You see improved color, resilience, and growth over days and weeks, not hours. If plants wilt or discolor after application, something went wrong. Pathogen risk must be stated plainly. Compost tea can carry E. coli, Salmonella, and other organisms if inputs or handling are compromised. Risk increases with immature compost, animal contamination, warm temperatures, and poor oxygenation. You reduce risk by controlling every variable you can. There is no safe shortcut. You cannot sterilize tea without killing what makes it useful. Safety comes from discipline, not additives. You clean all equipment immediately after use. Hoses, pumps, buckets, and sprayers are rinsed and dried. Residue becomes breeding ground. Next time, contamination comes faster. Compost tea is a tool for restoring biological function when soil life is depleted. It is not a cure for poor structure, compaction, or nutrient imbalance. Those failures require time and different strategies. What you gain here is speed and feedback. You learn how your soil responds to life. You learn restraint. You learn that fertility is not poured on. It is cultivated under rules that do not bend for convenience. The pressure does not leave. It sharpens. Because once you use living inputs, you are responsible for what lives and what spreads. The soil is listening now. What you introduce will decide what follows. Chapter 2. Carbon that bites back. The soil holds less than it should. Water runs through too fast or disappears by noon. Nutrients come and go without staying long enough to matter. You add compost and see improvement, but it fades. Something is missing at the structural level. This is where biochar enters. It looks simple, black, light, almost weightless, but it carries long consequences. Used correctly, it stabilizes fertility for years. Used carelessly, it locks nutrients away and starves crops while you watch. Biochar is not ash. Ash is mineral residue. Biochar is carbon that has been heated without oxygen. That process preserves a porous structure. Those pores become habitat for microbes and storage for nutrients and moisture. That structure is why biochar lasts so long in soil. The permanence is the risk. Compost breaks down, mulch disappears, biochar stays. Production comes first, and production carries danger. Fire control is non-negotiable. You are creating high heat deliberately. You use a burn method that limits oxygen and allows shutdown before full combustion. Open pits, metal drums, or purpose-built kilns can work if managed carefully. You never use treated lumber, painted wood, plywood, or composite materials. These release toxins that do not burn off cleanly. Feedstock is clean wood, brush, crop residue, or untreated lumber scraps. If you would not cook food over it, you do not char it. The burn proceeds in stages. Material heats, gases release, flame consumes the gases, and carbon remains. Your goal is to stop the process while carbon remains intact. Overburning turns char into ash and destroys pore structure. Underburning leaves raw material that decomposes later and steals nitrogen. Fire safety matters. Gloves, boots, eye protection, and water on hand are required. Wind conditions matter. This is not casual work. Once cooled, the char is brittle. You reduce particle size deliberately. Pieces should range from coarse sand to pea size. Dust is a hazard. Fine particles irritate lungs and eyes. You dampen char before handling and wear a mask when crushing. Now comes the mistake that ruins soil for years. Raw biochar is empty. Its pores are hungry. When added uncharged, it absorbs nutrients and microbial life from the soil. Crops yellow, growth stalls, the soil feels dead. Charging is not optional. Charging means filling those pores before soil contact. You load biochar with nutrients and biology so it gives instead of taking. This step takes time and restraint. Charging can be done several ways: soaking in finished compost slurry, soaking in diluted urine, mixing with moist compost and letting it sit. Each method works if time is allowed. The goal is saturation, not coating. You do not rush this. A minimum of 2 weeks is required. Longer is safer. The biochar should smell like soil when ready, not sharp or empty. Moisture must be maintained during charging. Dry char does not absorb well. You keep it damp, but not submerged, unless soaking is the chosen method. Standing liquid without oxygen creates problems you do not want. Application rates are conservative. Biochar is measured by volume, not weight. Typical rates range from 5 to 10% of soil volume in the top layer. That is less than most people expect. More is not better. You incorporate biochar evenly. Concentrated pockets disrupt root zones and moisture flow. Surface application without incorporation delays benefits and increases loss. Timing matters. Biochar works slowly. It does not feed crops directly. It improves soil capacity to hold what is already there. Expect changes over seasons, not weeks. The benefits are cumulative: increased water retention without waterlogging, reduced nutrient leaching, more stable microbial populations, better root development under stress. These gains appear gradually and persist. The downside is also persistent. If you mischarge or overapply, correction is slow. You cannot remove biochar easily. You compensate by adding nutrients and organic matter until balance returns. Environmental permanence demands discipline. Biochar is a commitment. Once added, it becomes part of the soil system for decades. Every decision upstream matters. You monitor response carefully. Improved drought tolerance is an early sign. Reduced fertilizer demand follows later. If crops struggle after application, you stop and diagnose before adding more. Biochar does not replace compost. It does not replace cover crops. It does not replace mineral balance. It stabilizes what you already manage. Think of it as infrastructure, not input. Dust control remains important during handling and application. You wet char before spreading. You avoid windy days. You protect lungs and eyes. These particles are fine and persistent. Storage matters too. Charged biochar should be kept covered and moist until use. Drying reverses some benefits and creates dust risk again. This chapter is about patience under pressure. Biochar tempts shortcuts because its benefits sound permanent and powerful. The truth is slower. When done right, it becomes invisible infrastructure that quietly supports everything above it. When done wrong, it becomes a silent sink that drains fertility while refusing to leave. You learn respect here. Carbon does not forgive impatience. You either load it correctly and place it carefully, or you live with the consequences season after season. The soil does not announce the mistake loudly. It just stops responding. Chapter 3: Heat, time, and the line you do not cross. Manure shows up whether you plan for it or not. A neighbor offers it cheap. Animals produce it daily. Piles grow fast. Left unmanaged, it smells, attracts flies, and leaks into water. Used carelessly, it spreads disease. Used correctly, it becomes one of the most powerful soil builders you have. This chapter is where discipline matters most. The risks are real, and the consequences extend beyond your fence. Manure is not a single material. Poultry, cattle, horse, goat, sheep, and rabbit manure behave differently. Poultry manure is hot and nitrogen dense. Cattle manure is wetter and slower. Horse manure carries weed seeds. Rabbit manure is mild but still biologically active. You do not treat them the same. Pathogens are the first pressure point. Raw manure can carry E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, and parasite eggs. These organisms survive longer than most people assume. They do not care about good intentions. They move through soil, water, tools, and hands. Heat is the primary control. Composting manure properly means driving internal pile temperatures high enough for long enough to kill pathogens. You are not guessing here. You measure. Hot composting requires sustained temperatures above 130 degrees Fahrenheit. That heat must be maintained for multiple days and repeated through turning. One hot spike is not enough. Cool pockets remain unsafe. Pile size matters. Too small and heat escapes. Too large and oxygen fails. You aim for a pile at least 3 feet in all dimensions. You balance carbon and nitrogen, so microbes generate heat without going anaerobic. Carbon sources are mandatory. Straw, dry leaves, wood chips, or shredded cardboard absorb moisture and create airspace. Without carbon, manure compacts, smells, and breeds flies instead of heat. Moisture control matters. The pile should feel like a wrung-out sponge, too dry and microbes stall, too wet and oxygen disappears. You adjust with water or carbon as needed. Turning is not optional. You turn the pile to expose all material to heat. Outer layers must move inward. Inner layers must cool briefly before reheating. Each turn resets oxygen and restarts microbial activity. Time is the second control. Even after hot composting, manure requires curing. Fresh compost is unstable. It continues to break down and can burn plants. Curing allows biological activity to slow and stabilize. Finished manure compost smells earthy. It no longer heats when turned. Texture is uniform. You should not recognize original bedding or feedstock. If in doubt, you wait longer. Waiting periods protect food safety. Raw manure should never be applied to crops harvested raw. Even composted manure has restrictions. For crops that touch soil directly, waiting periods before harvest are longer. Tree crops and grains carry less risk, but still require timing discipline. You apply manure compost well before planting when possible. Fall application allows winter to further reduce risk. Spring application requires extra caution and longer intervals before harvest. Application method matters. You incorporate composted manure into soil rather than leaving it exposed. Surface application increases runoff risk and odor complaints. Incorporation reduces nutrient loss and exposure. Runoff is a serious hazard. Manure nutrients and pathogens move with water. Slopes, frozen ground, and heavy rain increase risk. You never apply manure compost before storms. You protect waterways with buffer zones. Personal protection escalates here. Gloves are mandatory. Boots stay outside living spaces. Masks reduce inhalation of dust and spores. You wash hands, tools, and equipment thoroughly after handling. Equipment separation helps. Tools used for manure do not touch harvested crops. You avoid cross-contamination through buckets, wheelbarrows, and hoses. Storage matters. Manure and manure compost are kept covered. Covers reduce leaching, control flies, and limit odor. They also protect neighbors and water sources. Neighbors are part of the equation, whether you like it or not. Smell travels. Runoff crosses property lines. Complaints bring scrutiny. You work clean, communicate when needed, and follow local rules even if enforcement seems distant. Legal considerations vary by location, but responsibility does not. If contamination occurs, intent does not matter. Outcomes do. You plan accordingly. Manure compost is applied at conservative rates. More is not better. Excess nutrients leach and burn roots. You match application to crop demand and soil capacity. You monitor soil response. Improved structure, darker color, and better moisture retention are expected. If growth becomes overly lush and weak, nitrogen is excessive. You adjust downward. You never mix fresh manure into compost tea. You never shortcut curing. You never apply raw manure to beds growing leafy greens. These lines are not flexible. Manure builds fertility through organic matter, minerals, and biology. It feeds soil slowly and deeply when managed with respect. It punishes shortcuts hard and quietly. This chapter carries weight because mistakes here hurt people. Illness does not announce its source immediately. By the time links are made, damage is done. You treat manure like a loaded tool, useful, powerful, dangerous if mishandled. When managed correctly, manure closes the loop. Waste becomes structure. Structure supports life. Life feeds crops without outside dependence. When mismanaged, manure becomes liability. The difference is heat, time, and refusal to cross lines under pressure. You do not rush this work. You do not trust shortcuts. You let biology do what it does best under conditions you control. That is how fertility is built without becoming a threat.